Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by a key part of the all-conquering Dublin football side, Dennis Bastic. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
So you announced yesterday that you're going to step away from the inter-county scene. You've announced your retirement from inter-county football. 36, two young kids, five All-Ireland medals in your back pocket. You probably would have been doing well to get away with it for another season.
Yeah, I was pushing my luck last season as it was. So look, I had a great last season in terms of going on and being involved in the three in a row. So that was very special. But yeah, no, couldn't do it anymore. The time constraints that's involved is really a lot these days. So it was time to call it a day.
Did you have in your head before this season that this was definitely the last one, no matter what happened?
Well, yeah, I think I did, because I had the same thoughts at this time last year, you know, and I'd sat down and met with Jim. We had a discussion and I got on board again at that time. So at that stage, this was it, you know, it's all or nothing that for this year. So, and that's how it played out.
What dragged you back this time 12 months ago?
I felt I still had something to offer the group. That was ultimately it. The manager believed that as well, and that was a big part of me going back in there. And we were able to manage it away. I had an operation in December last year, so it was a case I was given plenty of time to recover from that and come back in when that was all healed up. So given the fact that I suppose the early months was spent in recovery, it made the year shorter. So it was really a space of, look, it's 6 months and that's it. You put your head down for 6 months and give it your all, and it was... that's what I was going to do.
Do you have individually tailored plans for, depending on your circumstances, depending on your age?
Completely. You know, you've guys studying, doing exams, stuff like that. So it's very much tailored around individuals. Got a great medical team, great coach there, and Brian Cullen on the fitness side. So there's guys at different stage of the year. They're doing different amounts of work, rehab, prehab, stuff like that, exams. So now the work-life balance for us is a huge thing, and that's all taken into account.
Did you meet with Jim to tell him the news?
Yeah, I suppose he knew it was coming, you know. We would have had discussions towards the end of the year and stuff like that. So I met with him briefly. We're actually doing some schools together there during the week.
Okay.
Going around with the cup. So I informed him then, and he wasn't surprised, but yeah, no. So
what was his message?
I suppose he just said, you know, it's been a pleasure and to just go out in my own way, whatever way I wanted to do that. And I didn't know anybody anything, and they were nice words. And he said, obviously, the end of the year didn't play out as I would have hoped in terms of game time. So he said, look, they were the cause you had to stand over. And I understood that. And he said, you'll realise that. He said, no doubt, you might get into management yourself at some stage, and they're the cause. And look, I've been around long enough, and at the end of the day, it's up to someone to make those decisions how best they see fit. And he made those calls, and that was just the way it was.
It's good you get that conversation with him, though, because we've had a lot of inter-county players in here, and I think particularly of the Kilkenny players who've had varying degrees of conversation with Brian Cody, and it might be a very short cup of tea, if even that, where Cody says, you had a good run at it, and that's as far as it goes. Jim Gavin, it seems when he's with his players, he can be very giving.
Oh, he is. Like, I suppose what I've learned over time is that feedback is very important for a player. You know, a player can... not coast, but can be in that unknown position where they don't really know what's going on or how they're doing. And it's just so important. And I try and push guys to try and get that feedback and try and put it back on the managers and selectors to actually find out how they're doing and where they're at the moment. Because, you know, when you're going through and you don't really know, it's very hard to realise, you know, what's going on in your own position and what's going to happen for you. So
a lot of the younger players probably keep their heads down during championship season and can manage to block out a lot of the noise, maybe not so much the social media stuff, but not listening to the radio, not reading papers. When you hit your mid-30s, you're probably naturally inquisitive as to what's going on. When you read the criticism of Jim Gavin in the wake of winning the All-Ireland and comments he made in the post-match press conference, the comments about his lack of celebration when Dublin won, does that in any way, can you understand that criticism?
Yeah, I can understand it. For us, it's about, I suppose, the group itself, you know. So anything outside of that group isn't really helping us towards our goals. So I can see exactly why he's getting criticism, and maybe the team or the players' interviews and stuff like that when you're involved, you come across that criticism. But ultimately, we set out goals, and it's about achieving those and whatever it takes to do that. So outside of that, then it doesn't really or shouldn't have an effect on us.
Yeah, but I definitely have a lot of sympathy when it comes to that, because on the other side, there's so much emotion involved, I think, with a lot of the country to this Mayo side.
Yeah.
And an expectation of everybody losing their minds on the full-time whistle if it was to go that way. Whereas, like, inside, are you dancing?
Yeah, well, look, that's only natural. And you know, as players, you have that emotion as well. We're still players at the end of the day and human. So that emotion piece is always there, but you just think then it's either us or them. So, you know, then it's very easy to sort out what way you're feeling.
Mm.
I went to the hurling final there to see those two teams, and I was the neutral then, and, you know, it was going to be a really long time for Waterford, and Galway turned out to be the better team on the day. So you have those emotions, they're only natural, but at the end of the day, it's us or them in the final. So
how different is the feeling after a year like this where you've only been able to play a small role, you got a few minutes against Carlow, you've had your injuries, compared to something like 2011 where you're so influential, and the years in between those five All-Irelands? Is it a very different feeling on the full-time whistle?
Yeah, and I suppose this, knowing that was finishing up, it was very different as well. But, you know, I've tried to, not train myself, but learn over the years that how important it was to kind of add to the group, you know. And, you know, ultimately the calls are made by management, and it depends on your form as well, you know. So that has to be taken into account. But yeah, everybody wants to be on the pitch, you know, everybody wants to be on the pitch, and that goes for the whole panel. So if you didn't feel some sort of disappointment, that wouldn't be natural. So you need to have that disappointment if you're not getting on the pitch to drive you forward. So I won't say that they mean less to me, you know, but I would see that the emotions of having an impact on the field of play is much different.
Five All-Ireland titles is just remarkable. All the more remarkable when you didn't even play inter-county football, senior championship football, until you were 28.
Yeah.
Why didn't you make it before you were 28?
Wasn't good enough, maybe, you know. That's not going to beat around the bush. I had opportunities. I had a lot of injuries.
Was it a talent thing, or was it a mental thing? Was it an attitude thing?
Well, how long have you got? So look, I had major shoulder surgery in 2001 on my left shoulder, 2003 on my right shoulder, brought onto the senior panel in 2005. Got some game time there in the league in a Burn Cup, had some discipline issues then that affected me. Tore my cruciate in 2007, so that wiped out the guts of that year. 2008 then, dropped off the senior panel due to discipline, and I think that was one of the main reasons, I think, around that time. So, yeah, so there was a number of factors all contributed to that, and maybe during those times I was also learning and progressing as a player as well. So, and then I got a chance when Pat Kilroy came in 2009.
Did a switch just flick at some stage when it came to those disciplinary problems and taking it more seriously?
No, it didn't switch at all. It was an area that I had to focus on, improve on, and I put some work into it. So it wasn't just a light bulb. You know, obviously, I think it makes you realise if someone tells you over the phone that you're not involved in the panel anymore, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, you figure out fairly quickly that you have to sort that out, you know.
When Pillar dropped you, what was your reaction? That's what, 08?
That's 2008, yeah. My reaction, I suppose, initially over the phone, I told him that I wasn't finished with Dublin yet. I remember that clearly, saying that to him. My reaction was, I suppose, hugely disappointed that time. But I just felt that, I suppose, maybe not getting a taste of it earlier on, that I still wanted. I was brought in, I was involved in panels, and I was involved in the setup. So that really drove me on to actually want more. So it was a case of, what do I need to do from this point to get back to that stage?
Did you think at that stage, as a footballer, I'm good enough to be out there? If I can sort out all this other stuff, I'll automatically get back in? Was it as simple as that?
No, because I don't think it's as simple as that for anybody. But I thought I was in the mix. I thought I had something to offer maybe that other players didn't offer. I knew I wasn't the most talented or skillful, but I did think that one of the reasons I was there was one of the reasons I could get back there as well, you know?
Yeah, was that just the burning desire?
No, that was, I think, I had a bit of physicality and aggression and I suppose, you know, a bit of heart to go into maybe challenges and tackles that other people wouldn't. So, you know, and that would help the team as well.
You had a picture hanging in your house with unfinished business written under. What was the picture of?
Yeah, so under Pilar Caffrey one of the days that we got a picture of Croke Park. It was the All-Ireland final, I think 2002, maybe Tyrone and Armand. It's a big wide picture. And yeah, so I had that at home, and then when I was dropped off the panel, I just wrote up on the top of that picture, I just wrote down unfinished business, and you know, I looked at that every day, and that kind of gave me, you know, a little reminder of where I wanted to get back to, you know. So I had a taste of being involved in Dublin, but I still never played championship in Croke Park.
It came along pretty quickly then under Pat Gilroy. The motivation, though, that unfinished business, and you say that that was part of the initial conversation with Paul Caffrey. Was it I'm going to prove him wrong? Was that part of your motivation?
Not him, no. It wasn't a personal thing, you know. I think the actual game that I got sent off on before I got dropped off the panel, you know, he made it pretty clear. It was like, look, I'm giving you a chance here. You know, don't get sent off. And I went out and I got sent off. So, like, it wasn't him. It was totally down to myself. So, I wanted to prove myself, more to myself, not to other people, you know. More to myself, really, to go and do it and get on the team.
So, 2009, Pat Gilroy comes in. You finally make your first championship start. And, what, 3-4 games in, you face Kerry in an All-Ireland quarter-final.
Oh, yeah.
The start of Lear Week's game. Utter humiliation in many ways for Dublin football. You dream about this moment. Did you say you fight for so long to get this moment? Mentally, how big a setback was that?
Yeah, it was a big setback because you think you're kind of making waves, you know. You think you're going to get in places, and then very quickly you realise that you're a good bit off, you know. That was a great team at that time in Kerry. And looking back, I suppose, you quickly realise that we weren't 17 points worse team than Kerry, but we had some mental issues with the team, you know.
What was it, 40 seconds the first goal went in? Who were you marking?
Who was I marking? It wasn't Gooch, so he got the goal.
Darren O'Sullivan?
Could have been Darren O'Sullivan, yeah, or Declan.
Yeah, so that winter and the following summer, the change that takes place in the mentality of the Dublin squad and the work that Pat Gilroy does with you mentally, is that something you bought into?
Yeah, completely. You know, I think it's very easy to, you can look back at the previous year and say, well, this is what we achieved then, so what are we going to do differently to make it better, you know? I think we had an issue with not beating one of the top teams. That was our problem at the time. And if you look back over, say, maybe the last 3, 4, 5 years, we ended up being beaten by the eventual All-Ireland champions, apart from Mayo and I think 06. So, you know, mentally we needed to get over that, and I think we did in 2010 then.
Was that just a long wait for an All-Ireland? Was that the pressure of playing these big games in Croke Park? Did you feel pressure when you ran out onto Croke Park?
No, I don't think it was pressure, but I think you learn a lot from actually going out and getting over the teams in certain circumstances. So when you do that eventually, that gives you great confidence then to go on and go on and achieve more.
When did you realise under Gilroy this is really starting to click?
Looking back at 2010, really poor defeat in Leinster against Meath, 5 goals. But then we went along the back door and we beat Tyrone, which was a big thing for us. Playing against Cork, 5 points up in a semi-final, and then we end up losing, I think, by a point, you know, 10 minutes to go. So, and then you go and you watch the All-Ireland final, and you look at Cork and Down, and you're kind of looking in, and Cork had a great year and won a great All-Ireland that year. You're looking in, you're saying you were really close to actually, you know, getting to the final and then giving yourself a good shot. So then it kind of hits home. Like, there's not much in the difference here if we can just push on.
I didn't realise that in the week of the 2011 final, you're not in a good way. You've got an ankle injury.
Yeah.
Reading your diary from that week, certainly early in the week, the Tuesday, Wednesday, it doesn't sound as though you're going to be playing an All-Ireland final 4 or 5 days later.
No, like, it's, you know, just crazy thoughts going through your head about not being able to make it. You know, I remember being up in DCU gym and myself and Paul Flynn there and both of us struggling with stuff, and you're just every minute counts at that stage, you know. It's trying to improve it, just get to the final.
Like, on the Wednesday you're going in for an MRI, you're having an injection. The doctor is sort of starting to look a bit more long-term and think, if you do play, if you put any more pressure on this, how long are you thinking about playing football for after this final?
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty serious stuff that you're having to contend with in the week of a final, which should be such an enjoyable part of your career.
Yeah, actually looking back now, I think it was quite good in a sense, because it took your mind off other things, so you weren't getting caught up in the press or the media or the family or the hype and stuff like that. You're really actually just worried about the injury itself, you know, I've got to meet that doctor on a few times since, and he still smiles when he sees me. Yeah, he's
still so asking you're when still, you're going to
yeah,
give it up.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Did you? Were you always confident you were going to play in that final?
No, it was a great competition. You know, you had Eamon Fennell there.
But in terms of the injury in the days leading up, that Gilroy would take the risk.
No, well, it's a funny relationship between any manager and your injuries. You know, they're trying to get a line of sight off the medical team, and you're trying to blag a bit if you want to play, and you're still not feeling right and stuff like that. But I think with the medical teams that we have, they're unbelievable. So, you know, if it's at all possible, then you're going to get to play, and then it's up for the manager, you know, to make that decision. Really.
Mm. Can you remember what your emotions were like when Stephen Cluxton took that free?
I didn't watch it, actually. My head was in my hands, so I just listened to the crowd. You know, I couldn't watch it, you know, but I'm sure he's going to get it, but I still couldn't watch it. But yeah, it was great to hear the crowd lifting at that stage.
The celebrations afterwards were incredible. It was such an amazing All-Ireland final. For you, with how far you'd come, do you take a moment? Did you get to take some time for yourself on the pitch at Croke Park?
You know, I just remember the feeling at the time was more relief, you know, more relief than, you know, enjoyment, because I think we had struggled for so many years, and not just when I was around, but going right back then to 96 after the win in 95. So I think it was a build-up of all that made it so, you know, so rewarding and such an achievement for that group of players.
Was there any sense then that, as you looked around that dressing room, we could really go and dominate football for the next, well, as it is, next 6 years?
No, definitely not thinking at that stage, you know, but I do remember thinking that, you know, that's it. We're actually good enough now, you know, so it's up to ourselves what we go on and do, but we're actually good enough to win this. So,
yeah.
And I think that mindset change in the players that really allowed us to push on from that stage.
When would you say you were at the peak of your powers?
I actually caught, I suppose 2012 was a kind of a write-off for the team. I thought I was in really good shape in 2013. I was pushing hard. We had McCauley and Keane O'Sullivan there in the midfield, and I came on and played a lot of game time off the bench that year. I felt really good. 14 was a write-off with injuries, really. But, you know, I got back in 15 and started in an All-Ireland final in 2015. So probably 11, 13 and 15 were, I suppose, when I was moving well.
The way the Dublin football team and almost the inter-county scene has gone over the last few years, but the way it's gone under Jim Gavin into this, it seems ultra-professional, elite sporting outfit. How did that sit with you, that transition from coming from, when you're playing junior football 6-7 years early, in your 30s, was that perfect timing for you?
No, it was kind of a gradual increase, so I could see it increasing year on year on year from the time I got involved in 2005 right up to now. So it's been a gradual increase, and it's just becoming more and more and more professional, you know. So it wasn't a big bang, say, when Jim came in, but it was growing and growing and growing in that sense.
How difficult has it been over the last couple of years? You've got, what is it, a 2.5-year-old?
Yeah, 7 months old.
To somehow squeeze in an inter-county life as well.
Yeah, that's been a real, real challenge, you know, on a number of ways, you know. One, because you're missing out on things at home, and two then is because, you know, you maybe not getting the correct amount of sleep and stuff like that, or you're busy, you know, yourself. So every night you go to sleep and you wonder how many hours am I going to get tonight, you know, so it's a bit of a lottery. But I think that balance thing, you know, I suppose work has been very helpful in that sense and stuff like that, so as well. But yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge, is trying to balance all that, to try and get it right, because ultimately when you go out to train, you need to be in the best possible shape to do that. So
we do hear a lot when we talk to Dublin players and when we talk to Jim Gavin about the glass balls and about keeping them all spinning at the right time, family, the professional life, the sporting life. It seems with Jim Gavin, while it's probably there in most teams, it's almost unsaid. It seems with Jim Gavin, this is very much said, that he wants you to take responsibility for this, to ensure that your family life is kept in check. Is that something you would have conversations with him about?
No, not directly with Jim, but I think it's out there. So the guys are there to help each other as well. So it comes from within the group. So, you know, it's very important that our home lives are in a good space. So it'd be that wives or girlfriends, and make sure they're looked after. And then, you know, when we're arranging maybe weekends away or training camps, different things like that, like they're impacted as well on that. So that's taken into account, or people's jobs as well. So that's all factored in terms of timings of training and how long you're going to be away and stuff like that. So it all adds into it.
There's been a real comeback from players in their 30s this season in particular. Andy Moore ending up as Footballer of the Year. Yeah. Kieran Donaghy, who'd been written off, having a fine season as well. Players, when they come in here, once they hit 30, one of the first questions you're almost asking them is about retirement. With that level of commitment that's there, when you're looking at that Dublin team and the younger players, do you see them being able to keep going into their 30s?
Unfortunately, I think it's leaning more towards, you know, the students and maybe teachers as well who have the summers off. I think it's becoming that level of time that's required to compete at the top level. I think that's taken over now. So I would probably see it being less and less, but that's not to obviously write off anyone. Mm. But I do think it could be less and less now, where you'd see someone late in their 30s with a family or a very busy professional life.
Are we ticking towards some form of semi-professionalism?
I'm not sure. I think the good thing about the Dublin GAA and like many counties around, that the players are well looked after, you know. So in terms of, you know, all the right gear and we eat the right food and stuff like that, you know. So a lot of those things are taken care of. So it makes things a bit easier. But I'm not sure how it would work with the semi-professional, or could it ever work. But I do feel that, you know, players are missing out on certain things in terms of progression in their work careers and that. And if there was ever a way that could be compensated, well, then I think that would be beneficial. So be it tax breaks of some description, you know, while you're in your playing your career.
I know you were saying there that your work had been very good to you, but here you are now, 36, and you're stepping away from the intercounty scene and you're getting fully into real life. And you're looking at people similar age, people you've grown up with, your friends, work colleagues who maybe at a different stage of their career, maybe at different stage of their life. Do you find that now as you're looking around that, I have sacrificed a lot?
Yeah, I've seen it, but that was the choice I made, and what I've benefited on the football side, personally to me, outweighs that. But now what I hope to do is I hope to, you know, fast track that side of my life now, you know.
What's next then? Back to the club, Temple Og?
Back down to Dolphins Park down there.
You were telling me you don't have a clubhouse in Temple Og?
No.
So Temple Og Sing Street, which must be one of, and there's some giant clubs on the south side, must be one of the bigger clubs in terms of playing numbers. You don't have a proper clubhouse?
No, we don't have a clubhouse. We're working on it, but no, we don't have anything at the moment. And I think that's one of the downfalls of the club, because we're missing out on that interaction between the young players and the adult players. And I think that's something that we need to get in place. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a club that has fairly contributed to the Dublin senior side over the last few years.
Yeah, no, we've got three guys up to this year. We're three guys on the panel, you know, with Owen O'Gar and Niall Scully. So look, we've been lucky in that sense, but we need to sort our own house out. Yeah.
Now that you're away from it and the three in a row is in the bag, and any of the current players won't talk about a five in a row. Go on, you've had a few conversations.
Drive for five.
You've had a few. Down in the Gibson after going three in a row after a couple of drinks, it comes up, doesn't it?
Look, it comes up. Does it come up? You can certainly dream, but then it doesn't take long to realise that it was the width of a post. It was the difference of winning this year, you know, with Killian missing his free and Dean getting his. So look, it's there in the background, and I know we come under pressure to say, you know, no one talks about the three in a row, and to be honest, that was the way it is. But the ability is there, but anything can happen in sport, you know. Look at the match there with Ireland 2 days ago, you know, you go 1-0 up, couple of shots, and next of all it turns into 5-1. So
yeah, it's some way of keeping players motivated, though, like five in a row to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah. I think if you were using that to motivate the players, you might be missing the trick, you know. I think the motivation has to come from within the group, and I think the guys in the group are going to do that themselves, yeah.
Brilliant stuff, Dennis. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Great,
best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.